Live.
Hello. Welcome again, everyone, to the Ruby Discourse. I said last time that this was the official chat of the Ruby Discord, which is the official pod, the official Discord. It's actually the very official. I'm so sorry, Josh. This is, I am Kamarao. This is Turtle.
Tataruga, yeah. Kamarao, Master Shrimp.
He's a That's right. I Ramp, have all the powers of a shrimp when it comes to martial arts.
Shrimps are pretty good, man. They're strong, they're meaty, they flip around.
I've learned some things from reading about shrimp soldiers in Dramatic Pause, Dominions 5.
Wow, okay, interesting. What'd you learn?
I learned that they can, though they seem clumsy, they can use their tails to fling themselves out of danger.
Interesting.
Yeah. They have simple dreams, and thus do not suffer quite as harshly from the madness of Relay.
That seems like it would turn fighting Relay from like a harsh experience to something more uplifting.
Wow, that's really good. You should write that down.
Well, you know, we're busy right now, so
yeah, it's true.
I'm sure we'll remember it.
Yes, but they wanted us to talk, didn't they? They wanted us. They are public about the stages of the game.
Oh, yeah, we're getting to stages of the game. All right, hi, guys. So, hi. Turtle here, Ramsey. We're going to do what's it called? We're going to talk about stages of the game real quick. Yeah. How to play Gate of Dominions. So,
we agree there are three.
We agree there are three, yeah. Basically, you know, so Ramsey, I'm curious to ask your opinion, because here's my theory. I'm going to give you my theory.
All right.
Dominions can be divided into three stages. Mm-hmm. Early, middle, and late.
Yeah.
Early game, I pause it, I suggest, is about troops. Mid game is about magic, in particular battle magic. And late game is about scale.
Hmm.
That's my thesis. What do you think about that?
I don't think you're wrong.
Oh, okay.
The way I usually see it is the beginning
a ringing
game.
Endorsement, a ringing endorsement.
You're not wrong. Yeah, I reward sparingly, but early game is about the troops.
What do we do with these fucking Dominions memes? What's wrong with us? We're just a bunch of dorks.
We're brain sick. It'll make our viewers feel smart because they recognize the reference.
You started doing it, and I was like, oh, I'll play along. And all right, I'm sorry. Okay,
I didn't mean you to suck you into that, but yeah, beginning. You don't have magic options. It's down to your troops and the bless that you bolt to your troops, and your bless or lack of a bless informs the character of your early game. I guess this is probably all self-evident stuff, but I guess it bears exploring in the middle game. Yeah, it's battle magic becomes more important. People who adopt the key battle magic for their nation, they're gonna roll you if you're just still going around with a bunch of dudes. Unless you have like some sick ass bless,
like you can roll with the giantest, whatever is sacred. Like you can, I remember I was playing Hanam the other month, and you know, I rolled in with like a whole bunch of like, you know, Rephaim, you know, with a comedy.
Yeah.
It wasn't an optimal blast, but like, you know, early EA Ulm. Ulm went AI when I was storming their capital, and their AI like almost wiped my Rephaim with fucking what'd they spam? Magma darts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, it's like
not FSR, huh?
Magic is just no. FSR is a coward's bless, a fool.
It is.
I'm sorry.
It's too good, but but yeah, as you get like, I don't know, I guess just, you know, magic opens up options, right? Mm-hmm. And everything has a counter, and the more research you get going, it's that's just how it goes.
Yeah, I was like, it has three stages, but the truth is that mid game is the most like complex and interesting.
It's long, yeah.
Yeah, mid game is really long. You know, I'd say that you move out of early game into mid game when a hellbless sacreds no longer like cut it, like they get wiped.
Yeah, by, like by, you know, by, or at least. Yeah.
Yeah,
and even if you have like a super, eventually you'll be able to deal with it, I guess, is my feeling. Like, unless it's like some really incredible bullshit somehow, you should be able to at least pick up options. At least you'll let the wound them. Or, yeah, the very least, or you could partner someone who can.
I feel that typically you're moving out of mid game into late game when basically when somebody starts to outscale or implements one of the strategies to outscale. But you know what? Maybe we should leave that for a minute. But
okay.
But I was saying, you know, mid game. The thing about mid game has like a bunch of stages. Like there's early mid game. You know,
it's like, all right, we got fire arrows. All right, now the other guy has arrow fend.
Yes, exactly. I was reaching for that exact example.
That is the quintessential mid game thing. I feel like it's like, yes, that horde of skeletons, foul vapors shit.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah, you know, like, you know, you know, mid game is you get flaming arrows, and now all of a sudden your army of Markata or pygmies or whatever, you know, goes from being a joke to like slaughtering, you know what I mean? And then, you know, and you go from early mid game to like late mid game when now they have arrow fend and you're hard countered.
And it's just like, oh my god, and you know, you need to have something else. It's just moving counter, it turns into chess.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I don't like smashing armies of mans into each other.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't like to. I mean, I like it. It's fun, but I don't like it as a strategy.
Right.
It's, like, you have to win these things on like the strategic level, and I guess that's kind of where scale comes in the late game. But
to be fair, that's where I get what's it called. You know, last time we did this, I said, like, you know, you have to distinguish between fun and game winning. And you were like, well, I disagree, because you love winning games.
I love winning games. It makes me feel very smart.
Which is legit. You know what I mean? Like people enjoy the game differently, you know. But I think slamming what someone, you know, this phrase feels foreign in my mouth, but slamming armies of pixel mans together.
Yes,
you know, is fun but not good. Like it's not a good show.
No. like it's something you want to do. You want to watch it. You want to observe it. Like when you want to put out your scouts and you see other people's armies smash, and you kind of like you're thinking, like, you get your battle data and like, ah, that will work. And like sometimes, like I'll do it sometimes, just make a lunge to another army, I guess. But that's only if I feel like. Only if I feel like I'm going to learn something from it that I'm not 100% sure about, just to see what happens.
Yeah, no. But, you know, we talked about, like, whatever, like, there's the meta of other communities, the big ones, Opcolo, Discord, you know, where they tend to fixate on giant units with hell blesses and, like, thugs and counter thugs and...
I feel like what I hear, and again, I don't know how true this is, that it's very, like, very army-centric, yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, a lot of people can easily get stuck in this trap of, like, because early, you know, because the world of domains can be so engrossing, and, you know, and you're so interested in the troop and the lore behind the troop, whatever, you know, but...
Yeah, you think there are people who play, like, role-playing games of it, and sure, whatever.
Yeah, exactly, you know, but, like, you know, but... But and you know, so people's meta fixates on like the early game, but you know the early game is just like the first, like,
it's like a year and a half, 2 years. It's like expansion, yeah, for me.
I was gonna say 20 turns. You know, yeah, what I mean?
That's about a year and a half.
You know, but the truth is, mid game, early game is until somebody, either you or somebody next to you, has battle magic.
Yep.
Right.
I mean, some nations are just like extremely vulnerable until that point.
Yeah, I was about to say MA Statist, or, you know, is you know, is a great example of that. A nation that is like really weak and really vulnerable. Yeah.
Right now, I'm in a game, Cryolite, and I started MA Statist. I got immediately rushed by Gabriel Pope in his like some sort. It's not quite a hell bless Marignan, but it's like one of those things where it's probably like an imprisoned dude with a million tiny blesses, and they just fucking took me right down to my cap. But now I'm in my cap, and I finally hit enchantment 5, and I'm just waiting. I got skeletons. Come on in.
Well,
I'm dead.
But yeah.
This is the point where you would be like, well, let someone else have the cap, I suppose.
Me? Yeah, I would totally. I'm not getting paid. Am I a statist that's been researching toward Horde of Skeletons for like 20 turns? That's insane.
Oh, yeah, I just parked 200. Just parked 200 dudes on top of this. I like Dominion 10. Yeah, it's gonna be great.
No, it's just like it's just like, you know, like so. And here's something, you know, I don't know. It's unstructured. I'm sorry, I'm eating, guys. So I'm eating in your ear. Gross.
And then we're professionals.
We're pros. you know, this is something I wanted to talk about. I don't know where to fit in and stuff, you know, but another thing with like the minions, you know, and people get really into what's referred to as like theory crafting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so what's theory crafting? Let's define that. What's theory crafting?
It's when you think you have some galaxy brain ideas on how things should work and it's time to, you know, use stuff that has to be tested out in the wild. And some people like to do this. It doesn't always work, I guess. Does that make sense? Is that it?
Yeah. Whatever. Here's something. I think it was Foucault. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Is he,
oh, wow.
One of our friends will correct
me. We're educated.
Mm-hmm. One of them was, so this is literally a random thing I've heard.
Yes.
But Foucault has this whole thing about like how I think how people would rather talk about sex than have sex.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, Dominions, you know, because the reality of sex is messy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, sometimes things don't work. You know what I mean? Like, you know, sometimes people don't feel the way that they want to feel or expect to feel.
All right.
Yeah. You know, anyways, you know.
Dominions is the best to play too, and it's a huge time investment.
Exactly. You know, theory crafting, I think, is symptomatic of, yes. You know, Dominions is, as you say, a mess to play and a huge time investment, and people would rather talk about it. I mean, case in point, we're currently talking about it.
I mean, yeah, you got us.
Yeah. But, you know, then play it.
I can do both.
Yeah, but it's true. I'm even in two games right now.
It's crazy. It's doubled your bandwidth.
Well, I've been playing for a while, and, you know, and both of them are, like, in stages where, like,
Very different.
Yeah, exactly.
The early game just is, you know, snap, just belt out the turns.
I'm sandbagging a little bit by, like, partialing for a few hours here and there.
Yeah, sometimes I'll end up doing that if I end up a lot of late game stuff. Speaking of late game, scale, huh?
We've received criticism that we keep wandering. So thank you.
Did you see my masterful pivot?
Yeah, that was great. That was a great transition. No, late game has to do with scale.
All right.
I don't know. I feel like the shade in between like late mid game, you know, and like late game is I'm not really sure how to talk about it, but like
I feel.
Go for it.
That late game is when money stops meaning things.
Okay.
Late games basically come to like gem-based or blood slave-based economy.
That's true.
Lump them all together, I guess, as gems for this purpose.
That's true. That's true. The two big late games are, of course, blood and astral.
Yeah.
Although I see astral less and less. I don't know why.
I think it might be a symptom of the game ending earlier in general. Like, you don't see the Astral Nexus stuff as much anymore because people usually get a win before then.
That's fair. I've never seen a cast of Astral Nexus in a game I've been in, but I only play one game at a time. But I've been playing for like 5 years.
I've seen Astral Nexus cast a handful of times. Once or twice, it was just, you know, someone was already just getting away with it. I think I might have cast it once or twice myself, but it was underwhelming for me at the time.
Yeah.
In one of my favorite pan games, someone else cast Astral Nexus, and I cast Astral Corruption with a stolen star spawn that I blood in hand. Like, I blood boosted for just this very thing. It was great.
There you go.
Fair enough. I won very eventually.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, the thing about Astral Corruption, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Corruption is. I feel like Astral Corruption isn't the start of late game, but it's a very late game thing because what it does is it shuts down everything else.
That's it's like one of those, that Nexus are the big, here we go things. Cause
yeah, but all of the rules. All the late game stuff,
yeah.
You know what I mean, is about scale. You know, you and I talked about Vengeful Waters,
yeah. Which
we both love.
Yeah, oh yeah. Anything that kills commanders, the strategic layer, I absolutely adore.
Yeah.
Some people just can't deal with that.
It's very upsetting, but the thing about then, you know, we're talking about late game and scale, you know, vengeful, you know, like, you know, an early game or mid game, what it's like, okay, I'm going to recruit an assassin and I'm going to march the assassin over. Here he goes, 5 turns to walk to the thing. And now I have to wait and the enemy commander comes over me and I attack and maybe I get him.
Maybe.
Yeah. You know, meanwhile, you know, Ventral Waters, I've had Ventral Waters up, you know, in this game I'm playing. Rony, you know, Erythea, whatever, you know. I have easily killed, definitely over 100 commanders.
Yeah. You know, so it's in the late game. In the late game, land and borders don't really matter exactly anymore.
Yeah.
What matters is, like, your different other influences, like what your gem income is, which, again, I guess land kind of matters, but by that point...
it's abstract. It becomes abstract.
Yeah, it's just, like, you need to get the thrones.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to get the thrones to win. I just, let me say that again, because this is a secret way to win Dominion.
Hold on, let me, hold on, let me... I have an idea. 1 second.
Okay.
We're gonna do like a Sonic 2. Hold on, I'm gonna get a. There we go.
All right.
I've got. 1 second. All right. Here we go. Hold on.
This is a
Ruby Discourse highlight moment.
All right. You need thrones to win the game. You need to claim the thrones to win the game. To win the game, you need to get as many throne points as it says when you check to see the Thrones of Ascension. That's one way you can win the game that not everyone knows. Thank you.
Okay, here we go. You know what? I'm proud of us. I feel like that was like I think we just like leveled up. Like that was an evolution for us.
Yeah, I think we just, I think that's gonna change a lot of lives.
Oh, okay. One day at a time. I hear you. yes. So early, middle, late. You know, a lot of people, you know, especially people who are like developing and learning and stuff, they, you know, they have a bad experience in the early game.
Yeah.
Or they have a bad experience in like the early mid game, right? Like they get rolled by like air elementals.
Yeah, or something that just like some sideways bullshit.
Yeah, it used to be Thunderstrike, but like I think FSR has like changed the meta on that.
I don't like Thunderstrike. I'm gonna go ahead and say it.
You know, it used to be good. I don't know what to tell you.
I just haven't seen it like effectively used in a while, I guess, maybe.
You know, and maybe it's just like Dominions 5 changed. Like you know, Dominions 5 nerfed Rain of Stones, blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe it's something like that. But anyways, you know, but like, yeah, so, you know, someone gets rolled by like air elementals, you know, or by like Hellblast Sacred or something. And so they become obsessed with trying to like, you know, master that because that's what killed them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meanwhile, you know, what they're not thinking about is like the whole like rest of the game, you know, like the other stages of mid game and the late game, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Like your fixation on thugs once upon a time.
Me?
You love thugs. Everyone loves thugs.
I love thugs. Oh, that. That was just
a joke.
Fair enough. Yeah. Speaking of
troops. The Stallion of Ulm.
Oh God, I did get
some formative experiences that scar you. Yeah, Stallion of Ulm.
Okay, I guess so. For those who don't know, and everyone who's been around for a while knows, one of my early games, you know, I'd come out of nowhere after lurking and being careful. You know, I defeated the coward Ramsey. I'm sorry. I know you hate that. I know you hate that I call you the coward Ramsey. I shouldn't.
I don't care.
Okay. All right.
I don't care because I win anyway.
It's true. You do. That's correct. So I defeated the coward Ramsey. I was feeling like hot shit or whatever, and I took a dormant god at one point, and I got totally rolled by this very specific like guy, the Stallion of Ulm, who only ever plays like Ulm or like Ulmish like offshoots, you know, and like role plays as like this guy, and he refused to use magic. He would shout diplomacy at you, and like, you know, so it's just like a Dom 10 Earth Snake or something, and it's like marched at me. You know, meanwhile, all of my careful, delicate plans fell to pieces because I just got cudgeled to death. He was like fucking like building, he would like conquer one of my provinces and then like build a temple there so he could move a snake in. Positive Dom.
I love him.
And he was like, he was yelling at me because I was non-human or something and it was going to exterminate. This guy was role-playing as a genocide heir or something. It was gross on a certain level. But anyways.
I admire its purity.
Oh, Jesus. I named my next god, I'm Not Getting Rushed Again. And it was an awake fire dragon.
To this day, I think Turtle almost always picks an awake pretender to guard against this very happenstance.
I mean, almost always, I guess. You know, like, you know.
Making the awake dudes.
I do take away dudes. But I take away dudes for a lot of reasons. I favor a very lean... style, you know.
I like dormant stuff personally.
I think getting you know, the early game isn't like, you know, like really so the early game, the thing about the early game and you know, people fixate on it and stuff is it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Because everything's very high stakes.
Yes.
Right.
Like, one misstep, you know, it's a little exponential. You need to get those like 15.
Yeah, things will snowball
the first year, and if not, you're like a runt state. You're, you know, either you'll
Ramsey. I talked over you. Repeat that because it was good stuff.
Oh, sure. What was I saying? So in the beginning, you need to get those 15 provinces, right? And if you become a small, like some small rump state, either someone's going to eat you. Or they're just going to, you're going to get ignored and you're going to be constantly trying to nibble off someone else, maybe just failing and just be irrelevant for the rest of the game. People don't usually like coup de grace me when I have a bad start. So I will just kind of limp along sometimes in some games.
No. You know,
happens to me anyway.
Momentum is real. Rushed,
I mean, this Jeep Hope thing is refreshing.
I'm getting rushed.
Yeah.
Everyone rush Ramsey because he loves it.
No.
You heard it here.
Ramsey. I'm going to get... Let me tell you about my Wake Dracon with FSR regen. The coward's god.
It's true.
Or the coward Ramsey.
The coward Ramsey. I'm sorry, the coward Ramsey is just so much fun to say. The coward Ramsey.
That's a great cadence to it.
Yeah, right? They got a cellar door quality.
Yeah, look, let them think that I'm a coward just because whenever they move your big army, I'm just backing away because they haven't researched Howl yet. Because once I do, I'm coming for them.
Fair enough. No, but shit, what the fuck was I talking about?
A late game.
Whatever. No, but early game. Early game, you know, is so tense.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing that's unique about it. You know what I mean? Like, and it can be very stressful because, you know, there's a meme, a long-running meme in the Dominican, the Hill Wizard Steve.
Ah, Steve.
You know, it's not a little party of guys. Oh, you know, we're gonna conquer this seemingly weak indie province, and then you get thunderstriked or fire elementaled.
It's just, you know, it's like you send your and this is part of the reason I think why fire and shock resistance is very good on a expander because you'll run into some guy who will either cast like lightning bolts that chain stuns your god, and you're dead. Or it's some guy who casts like one fire elemental or two fire elemental. And the heat aura just fatigues you out and you're stabbed to death by like militia or something. I don't know. It's like the one village that hired like a wizard, like seven samurai style. And just,
I like that.
Wrecked.
I like that, Ramsey. I like that you've taken that and deepened the lore of the universe.
It's true. But that's how I imagine it. Cause, guy, you walk into this thing and it's like they're like three air wizards and you're just like, what the hell?
Yeah, you get fucking orb lightning.
The PD, the province defense, the indie strength, it just seems so erratic.
Absolutely, you know, and you know, there's no way. So one of the reasons I like to take an awake expander, you know, something solid is like, you know, it's so important to
expand well. Efficiently.
Yeah, but you know, but just to have something you can rely on.
Yeah, some things are just straight up log jams. And like if I take a dormant thing and there's like a like 50 knights in my cap circle somewhere. It's like, that shit's not getting dealt with anytime soon.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, it's, and, you know, and little things, you know, meanwhile, you know, if you get huge early or something, the chances of you finding something in that, like a random magic site or an
unexpected crystal zons.
Yeah. Or anything, you know what I mean?
Like, any sort of good magic indie that you need.
Yeah, or like, you know, what's it called? As luck can arm, like, you know, literally the only reason I was able to like pull that game off was very early I got like a random event, Water 2 Hydromancer.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And yeah. I sight searched all around where he'd washed up, and I got like 10 water gems a turn, like very quickly.
The remember. Oh, go on.
No, anyways, and, sure. and so I was, and so from there, like from Water 2, I bootstrapped all the way to Water 7 and like cast Vengeful Waters, and then but I got lucky.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, you know, like getting huge, you know, in the early game gives you more possibilities for better things to have. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
yeah, especially if you actually literally took luck scales, because that turns every province into a lottery ticket that you just keep scratching.
That's true. And I do that, as you know. You know,
big fan over here of the luck turmoil. I don't like taking misfortune anymore either.
God, I hate it. It's so bad.
Just, if you get unlucky, it'll just, especially, I really don't like to take it on like a slow nation. Then you'll be, you know, moving like your, like, I don't know, your armored troops to try and clear up like indie attack after indie attack after indie attack. Like this cat, my underwater LP, that happened like constantly. That sucked. But anyway, the nice matter of scale for winning. I mean, you need to get so big, right? Because you need the wizards, make the wizards to study the books.
By the way, I want to, what's it called? I want to address, I'm aware of only one canonical counter argument for getting huge early.
Okay.
Which is, you'll become a target. But the thing about that is, you know, and honestly, like this is, I'm sorry, I was driving this earlier, I never got there. I want to talk about, like, you know, the way people play Dominions. You have to play Dominions against the people you're actually playing against.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right?
As opposed to imagined people.
Yeah.
Right. This is actually, and, you know, and this has to do with theory crafting and stuff, whatever, but it's like,
oh,
a
wow,
huge
here
problem.
We go.
It's a huge problem. You know, mm-hmm. like, you know.
Oh yeah. You're telling me about this, right? Go on.
Yeah. You know, like, because, okay, here's a peek behind the veil. Sometimes Ramsey and I will talk a little about what we're going to record, or maybe going to record. Mm. You know, but, you know, like, the counter argument, like, you know, that, like, if you get huge, you know, you'll get rolled by everybody immediately because they'll act rationally and recognize the threat. Got to understand that Dominions is a game of imperfect information.
Yeah.
Right? Played by busy people.
Yeah, you know, largely.
Yeah, you know, who don't always do like the smart thing or the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, each, like in Ruby, every room has its own little, every game has its own little chat room, but it's not like these things are hopping or anything.
Yeah.
Every now and then someone might be like, post some graphs that they got to stir some shit, or like, oh, wow, look how big this guy is because they got scouts spread around, but organizing doesn't always happen.
To be fair, yeah, you know, in most of the games I've been in, like, when a war has been organized, I organized it. Mm-hmm. and this is sort of unique to my style of play. Like, I'll admit to, like, there was a game, the Banderlog game. I'm going to admit to this publicly. You know, Jay Brereton was Asphodel. Mm-hmm. Right, and he immediately got rolled because Jay Brereton, like, you know, he's a prominent player, and, you know, and he's a scout people want to collect, and so like
he wrote the balance mod.
He did write the balance mod.
That's real good.
JBBM. Yeah, I appreciate it. There are a few things that I would never about it, but I think there's differences of opinion.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, but anyways, you know, what's it called? He was Asphodel, you know, and he was ruled by two people, and he was kicking, and he was, like, holding on. Like, he's a very skilled player. He was, like, defeating them.
Asphodel's pretty decent.
You know, so, I the Ender Log, you know, had scouts all over the place, and I'd noticed this thing going on. So I reached out to one of his neighbors, who was actually Kit Fox.
Yeah.
His name is Kit Fox. And I was like, hey, Kit Fox, are you aware that, like, you know, Asphodel next to you is, like, getting rolled? And he's like, I don't have any scouts. So I was like, well, march your army, like, to this province and then this province and this province. Yeah. And he did. You know, so you know.
All he ever needed was a push to get out of his PB land.
Yeah, you know, he marched an army onto Jay Bear's cap, you know, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back, you know, and yeah.
And Asphodel's off the board.
Yeah, you know, and so I play like that. That's how mm-hmm. I play. You've referred to it as like a cat's paw.
Yeah, I remember we had this thing when we were playing opposite each other in a game where I was Helheim, he was Theodoros, he was the ghosts underwater.
Yeah, I was them.
But it kept on turning out that he would be like shoving people into me, like obliquely, and then they wouldn't, you know, he'd give them advice, they wouldn't listen to it, and I'd just snap their necks.
God damn it.
It was like a horror movie.
Sometimes people do listen, actually.
Oh, that was the same game where someone did listen to you with Lanka and Marverini, yeah. Right? With the
I needed a war to go on longer than I thought it was going to go on. So I gave advice and material to support to somebody.
Divine Frog.
Yes, Divine Frog, who's a lovely person and who pulled off a very. You know, I literally were talking.
I love the screenshots of it. It's incredible. Just dropped a bunch of meteors that do 150 damage onto a bunch of huge pile of Lonkin sacreds that had regeneration, but also the damage sharing bless blood bond. So they just smash themselves, smash each other. It's everyone dying. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah, no, you know, the Divine Frog pulled it off, you know, and it was great, you know, and also it kept a war going, you know, that I needed those people to just not be paying attention to me or anything else.
Yeah, especially with that nation, you just kept to keep everyone else busy doing other things. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
You almost had that too if Helheim didn't have like insane map move.
That game really is like one of the ones that got away from me. And, it's a painful game for me, but it's okay. But anyways, you know, we were talking about playing the person you're playing against.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
playing someone who is not very who isn't, you know, isn't experienced, not clever. You can't really expect them to pull something out.
Yeah, you know, and
smart yourself.
You know, this is sort of why I don't think that like. Well, here's what let me put a point on this.
Okay.
It's not that I think FSR is a bad bless. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's not a bad bless objectively. Yeah. Like nobody does studies on demand because it takes too long. But if you were like to do studies on it, I bet FSR is pretty game winning.
Yeah.
Especially against a range of stuff. But yeah. I think, but I honestly think FSR is often like a waste of energy and resources, or it can be, you know, because if you're up against somebody who's not doing fire or shock stuff, you know, and you've put these points into FSR, they're wasted points.
I guess that's kind of true of any elemental resist bless.
Well,
let me lay something down for you on why FSR actually is always good, almost.
All right.
So you know how extreme temperatures in a province, like cold 3 or fire 3?
Yeah.
They will, heat 3, they'll give you +2 encumbrance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have FSR, if you are in a fire province, or, you know, heat 3 province, you will actually have less encumbrance than the other guy by 2 points. Because you'll be resistant to fire.
Hey, Ryan,
fire resistance cancels that.
Let me counterlay something on you.
Everyone picks E3. What's up?
It's true. Let me counterlay something on you.
All right.
About the 2 points of encumbrance on your, like, sacreds or whatever. I don't give a shit, dude. Good shit.
It
doesn't matter.
I love details. Every little edge.
No, you know, I'm a big fan of, so here's the thing about FSR, you know, if you are like spending defensive energy and the guy never attacks from that angle, that's wasted energy.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that FSR is like a bad gamble to take. I don't think it's a bad bless, as I just said, you know, but I don't like to take it because I like to play the person I'm up against. And so I generally try to take a bless that gives me more tools and flexibility.
Mm-hmm. That's understandable.
Yeah, you know what I mean? As opposed to sinking resources into this thing that might like never materialize seriously. And if it does start to materialize seriously, like there are other ways to get those things. Fire and shock.
Late game, yeah.
Mid game.
I suppose to. It's just because, you know, it's in those little AoEs. I only like the resisty spells when they're like battlefield wide.
They're not, yeah. I get the underwhelming, but I understand what you're saying.
But I don't know. I like FSR because even if I am fighting a bunch of, even if like a lot of people aren't good, there's probably at least one person who is good who I have to beat.
That's true.
And if I have like big giants that do not like fire resistant, he could just heat a pet. You know, he could just heat. Someone could heat stroke me. All like corner case. You're always just, you know.
That's
whatever you're given.
That's a good point. Like there, like on the other hand, there is a what's it called, especially if you're like a beginner. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I should mention, I guess, that like, you know, I'm a, for those who don't know, like if you don't know me, I'm a career martial artist. And so I think about things like, you know, in sort of these terms, you know what I mean? Like playing the person you're up against as opposed to playing an imaginary person, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if you're boxing, you know, you want to box the guy you're up against, not like an ideal boxer or the people you've trained against. You know what I mean? You have to try to punch the guy who's in the ring with you.
Yeah.
You know. But there's definitely an argument for like what I refer to or think of as like shutting the front door.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That involves like this dumb like martial arts metaphor of like somebody's trying to break into your house.
Okay.
Or if you're trying to break into somebody's house, right? What's the first thing? Well, like check the front door.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, like if you're trying to get this guy, like, well, why don't you just try to punch him in the face?
All right.
Right?
merely defeat all his armies and sit on his capital.
Exactly. Sometimes
that's exactly how a war works, actually.
Yeah, it's true. That's exactly right. FSR is like, you know, it's a healthy thing. You know, you're shutting
the front door. It's a hedge.
Yes, you're shutting the front door.
It's a hedge against a lot of just like early game stuff that kills your expander.
Yeah, I know, but I like to embrace something more flexible. Yeah, I guess so. But I'm sorry, we were talking about stages of the game, but we kind of covered
them, I think, right?
Yeah.
We can probably talk more about late game later. Yeah.
I don't like late game. I don't think anyone likes
late game. No, not really.
You know, mid game is the fun part.
Why late game sucks could be a good subject.
Okay, late game sucks because I don't know, is the concept called decision fatigue?
It's a lot of clicks. I don't know if that's the term.
You've got like 500 little mages and they're all like the same, or like what's worse is they're not the same, they're like slightly different.
At that level I just start compartmentalizing everything in my head. Like theaters and like groups, and I just kind of like set them up and just kind of push them around, I guess. And usually by that point, I'm working towards some very concrete goals, and I just start, tunnel visioning on those and just like writing off entire parts of the map that don't matter.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
that's how I stay sane.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, you know, so we talk about playing, like, you know, the person against you. You know,
well, that's what it's like to play me.
Fair enough. You know, but another part of that, like, you know, is that the meanings, as we talked about, months long commitment to, if you're going to go to late game, you're going to survive the late game, you know, and you have to stay sane, and so do your opponents, you know.
Yes.
You know, like a major way to win late game is just to make
morale.
Make them so upset they go AI.
Player morale would be another thing for another broadcast, I think.
Oh shit. Yeah, have we already been talking for like a half hour?
Way more probably.
Fuck. Okay, well, you know what? Then should we call it?
Yeah. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed this this Ruby Discourse very official broadcast. This has been Ramp Camarao
and
Turtle. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been me too. Jesus. I can't even believe time flies when you're fucking talking about shit. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
All right, well, this has been episode 2, I guess. Right. Hope you enjoyed. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.